Yesterday we were looking at the book of Psalms, in Psalm 32 specifically. And Psalm 32 starts off, this is a psalm of David. And David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man with whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." So we looked at this yesterday, and this is David. David had a glimpse. David had some level of understanding of the truth of what he just said. He'd experienced that forgiveness of God, and he'd experienced sins being covered. But he had a glimpse, he had a glimmer, he had a look, he had an understanding, a foreshadowing. Because when you say these words, blessed, and in the Amplified Bible it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is he who has forgiveness of his transgressions, continually exercised upon him, whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. David was looking forward. David didn't fully experience that because David could not walk in the total forgiveness because that had not yet taken place. That forgiveness came with Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who came and restored that relationship. It's Jesus who came, and because of his sacrifice, because he became God in the flesh, and because he died and he rose again, and he defeated sin and he defeated death, he brought back or restored that relationship. There was no longer there's no longer that broken relationship. There's a word for it. Many of you are saying it right now, but I can't hear you. There's no longer that broken relationship with Father God, because now man and God, there's no longer enmity, there you go, between God and man. Because Jesus Christ has restored that relationship. David didn't understand that. David did not experience that. He understood it conceptually, and he was given a glimpse of it, but he didn't experience it in his life because Jesus had not yet come. But he had a glimpse of what was to come. And so his words are so powerful because David was looking ahead, and he was experiencing joy in just seeing what was coming for you and I. What you and I almost take for granted, if not we do take for granted, what we have. We should be walking today, realizing that we are blessed. We should be walking through today happy, understanding how fortunate we are. We're experiencing something that David could only see. We experience it. To be envied are us. David is even saying, listen, you are to be envied because you're going to have this. He was looking ahead and seeing, you're in my lives in Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus Christ, blessed, fortunate, happy, to be envied is the person whose sins are not imputed against him. In other words, your sins are not counted against you because Jesus has paid the price for those sins. And this is the amazing thing. David also saw when he said the line, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You know, in David's time, in David's experience, his spirit was dead. His spirit at the time was dead, and as was every man's, and as is every man's even today, until they accept the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. And then upon that acceptance of Jesus Christ and the work that he did, upon that acceptance, then the spirit is made alive. Then the Holy Spirit of God himself comes to dwell and bring life and comes to dwell within you because your spirit is made alive. This is the new creation of you. Your spirit, which is dead, you are now newly created because your spirit is now alive. And the Holy Spirit is in you. Now, that's a concept that we can understand conceptually. We don't fully understand all of it, not in this natural mind, but we certainly understand the reality of it. We can understand it because we've experienced it, and we see it spelled out and explained to us throughout all of the New Testament. But David didn't have that advantage, and yet David still saw, looked ahead, and saw. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is the man in whose spirit there is no deceit. You know, before the Holy Spirit came, there was deceit in the souls of individuals because their spirits were dead. But with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in your spirit, and if you're saying to yourself, well, I don't know, I've never really felt that. It's not a matter of what you feel. It's a matter of what is reality. The reality is, before you accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, your spirit was dead. Now, maybe you didn't feel anything, but probably in your soul you did. But those are emotional things, and that's not the evidence. The fact of the matter is, as soon as you accepted Jesus Christ and his work on your behalf, on his substitutionary work on your behalf. As soon as you acknowledge and accepted that, your spirit was made alive because his spirit came to dwell within you. And now your spirit is vacuum-packed, is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so your spirit is not tainted by any failures, by any sin. If you commit sin, your spirit doesn't have to be restored again. It is vacuum. It's untouched by sin. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is never going to be any more righteous than it is right now because it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, we can conceive and understand those things because, again, it's been explained to us in the New Testament, and we have the revelation from the Holy Spirit to understand those things. But David could not understand those things, and yet he had a glimpse of it. And he saw, when he said, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man whose sin is not imputed against him, and is the man whose spirit, in whose spirit there is no deceit, he was seeing what God was going to do. That is just astonishing to me. And the fact that David, who would never experience those things in his life, and yet David could praise God, and David was praising God on behalf of what he saw God the Father was going to do through his Son Jesus Christ for you. David was praising God for what he saw your life would be, for what he saw Jesus, even though he didn't know the name Jesus. I'm not even sure how much he fully understood Messiah, but he understood what Father God was going to do. And Father God gave him a glimpse of that. That's the only way. It's only by the Spirit revealing these things to David could David understand these things enough to speak these words. These are amazing words to me that David is contemplating, understanding, and it stirs in his heart a rejoicing. See, David's not benefiting. Yeah, David understands at the level that he could, at the level he could experience under the old covenant. David understands forgiveness. And there was forgiveness, but there's not the cleansing. There is not the sins no longer imputed against him. He did not have that experience because he was under the law. He was under the old covenant. And yet so great was just the glimpse, the scene of what you have every day in your life. So great was that image. So great was what he saw that David is rejoicing, saying, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Are you in Jesus Christ? That's amazing. You know, that should change our outlook on the day. It should change how we see ourselves today and our lives today. David saw it, and David said that you today in Jesus Christ, David said, you're blessed. You are happy. David said, you should be happy. You're blessed. You're happy. You are fortunate, and you are to be envied. That is how David saw you. That's what we tend to take for granted. Man, we should be happy today. Because you are to be envied. You are favored, fortunate, and to be envied. That should stir the happiness and the joy in you. Now David goes on to say in verse number 3, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have hidden, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So David does have a glimpse, an understanding of forgiveness. Because David is saying, listen, I acknowledge God to you. I acknowledge my failures. I acknowledged my sin. I did not hide them. It's silly to try to hide them from the Lord because we can see from David's life when he did see, God saw it right away. And the one time that we see that David did try to hide it, you know, God exposed it through the prophet Nathan. So David has learned there's really no point in trying to hide things. So I can't hide my sins from God. So it behooves me to acknowledge my sins, to give them to you. I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. David said, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins. See, David is experiencing that forgiveness of God, and he's experiencing the forgiveness of God under the old covenant. where the sins are covered. But with you and I, the sins are actually removed. They're obliterated in Jesus Christ. They are not counted against you. And this is what David is saying. David is acknowledging the goodness of God in his life because he acknowledged his sins. He did not hide his transgressions. He didn't attempt to hide those transgressions. He confessed them, and he knew that God forgave him. That is the heart of God. David saw that and experienced that under the law, under the old covenant. But he saw what you and I experience today in the new covenant, in the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he was joyous for you in what you experienced and what he couldn't experience, what was beyond his ability to experience. Verse number 6 says, "For this forgiveness, let everyone who is godly pray. Pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, when the great waters of trial overflow, they shall not reach the Spirit in him. You are a hiding place. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance." Selah. Pause and think about that. "I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the ways that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." David is acknowledging and seeing. David sees the awesomeness of the forgiveness of God. He's seeing and experiencing the heart of God. So even though he's unable to fully experience the heart of God because of the covenant that he's under, he still is understanding and seeing the heart of God and the heart to forgive, the desire to forgive, and the desire to have us holy for him, holy serving him. "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near you." David is saying in verse number 6, "For this forgiveness, let everyone who is godly pray." He's saying that this is what our prayer is, to not hide the transgressions, to not hide the sins. And here's how that rings true for you and I today. See, you and I today, David didn't have this experience, but he saw it in you, and he was rejoicing in what he saw for you in the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. For you and I, our sins are, because of Jesus Christ, our sins are not imputed against us. In other words, our sins have been forgiven. When you accepted Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven. Now, that means when I sin again, do I have to come back and re-find salvation once again? No, my sins are covered. But it is the heart of the believer. It's the heart of the person who understands. If you and I would have the heart of David, and David here demonstrates to us his perception, his awareness, his understanding, his comprehension of the heart of God, which is to forgive. And he's saying because he understands that, you and I should understand that as well. Now, David confessed his sins, and in the confession of the sins and under the law, those sins would be covered by the blood sacrifices. But by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your sins are free. Even the sins you have not yet committed, even the sins you're going to commit 2 years from now, those sins are already covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Does that mean you go ahead? Oh, I can feel free to go ahead and sin because my sins are covered? I have free license to go sin? No, absolutely not. Two things. First of all, the true heart, if you have a love for Jesus Christ, you desire not. The heart that understands what Jesus has given does not desire to sin. True love, love of God, love of Jesus in you, compels you to live and desire to live a life for Jesus Christ. But beyond that, as you sin, you do open up the door. You do give access to the enemy into your life to do his work in your life. So there are consequences. There are things that result from our sins. Now, in the midst of that, we can ask forgiveness. You know, we can close that door on the enemy. We can turn those things over just as David did. We can have the same heart that says, "Look, I acknowledge my sin and my iniquity I've not hidden. I confess my transgressions to you, for you've forgiven the iniquity of my sin." Jesus has forgiven the iniquity of your sin, and those sins are not held against you. However, you do provide the enemy an opportunity to, you provide an open door for him to come in and attack your life in those areas of your life. And this is why David's heart is still so true and should still ring true to us today. You are, he says, for this forgiveness, let everyone who is godly pray. Pray to you in a time when you may be found. Here's the good news. There's not a moment in your life that Jesus may not be found. Every single moment Jesus may be found. If there is something that just weighs on you, look, Jesus, this is what we're trying to say yesterday. God loves you. When you read what David is saying, David, what he said in those first two verses, Paul explains to us. In Romans chapter 4, he explains exactly in his letter to Romans exactly what David was saying. And then in verse number 2 of what David said, he also explains that in 2 Corinthians 5:15. And when you understand David's heart, and you have that same understanding, and we should because we have so much more, Jesus, because of Jesus Christ, God may be found at all times. David had great praise, great joy in what he experienced. And he knew that you and I, he saw that you and I had experienced even more. And he expressed the joy in that. You and I, we should be living as blessed, fortunate, favored, to be envied, happy in Jesus Christ today. And if there is anything that is left open, anything that you have, just give it over to Jesus Christ. If there's a transgression, just give it over to Jesus Christ, because he may be found at all times. Give it to him and close that door of the enemy. Close that door for the enemy so he cannot delve into your life and bring heartache and pain to you. When you see that, understand that, and live that, then you begin to just get a little bit of an inkling, a little bit of understanding of exactly what David was saying in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man whose sins are not imputed against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Let's live to the full measure of all that Jesus has for us.